CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Francis Rose, the host of Government Matters at WJLA in the nation's capital. His conversation with veterans, with those who have served, those who will serve the federal government, about the intricacies of these several million people, especially in the cyber age. And Francis focusing on that, cyber security, and of course, the news story of ransomware. Francis, a very good evening to you. Before we go to your cyber conversations, making everybody anxious about their security, we want to mention your four-star forum at Apple Podcasts. You speak to a veteran member of the U.S. Army today, AFRICOM, I believe. Introduce us to General Carter Ham. Good evening to you, Francis.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program, as always. Carter is a friend, and Carter is a longtime servant of the United States, 37 years, I think, in uniform of the United States Army, and rose to the rank of general, hence qualifying him as a four-star forum guest. Carter's position as the commander of AFRICOM qualifies him eminently to help us understand what is going on in that part of the world and what has been going on in that part of the world historically. We begin the conversation talking about China and its efforts to find bases, to find economic opportunities in Africa, and the way that the United States does business differently. One of the things that Carter points out is, if China makes a deal with a country to build a port there, they will import the workers, they will import the materials, they will do nothing for the economy in that nation, where the United States does the opposite. They hire local people, and we buy locally as much as we can the materials that we need to do the work that we do. And the concern that I brought to him was, how does the United States continue to make itself the partner of choice when these countries are thinking about who they want to get into business with? And the other concern that I took to him was, can a country like Djibouti, that has a Chinese military base there, be considered an ally or a friend of the United States also, going back to President Bush's axis of evil, and if you are not with us, you're against us sentiment. And he has some very interesting insight, I think, to share about that. Four-star forums on Apple Podcast, as you said. It's also on Google Podcasts and Stitcher, and I'm just thrilled with the response that I'm getting, not just from the audience, but from the four-star community itself, that's saying this is something it's useful for people to understand, and these conversations are useful to have without partisanship and confrontational questioning and so on, John.
Now let's upset everybody and talk about cybersecurity in Washington. Your conversation with Gary Stevens, Executive Director, Information Security Policy and Strategy. The Veterans Affairs, our old haunts, Francis, when we worried about Veterans Affairs for years. Here's a man who's giving security a good name at the VA, but from his presentation to you, they're constantly worried about attacks. It's getting worse.
Yeah, it is getting worse, John. The threat landscape changes on a daily basis, and it accelerates quicker than anybody can anticipate. The bit of good news that Gary shared is that regarding the SolarWinds attack, they don't have any evidence that they lost any data as a result of the SolarWinds attack. That's not something that every agency can say. There are a number of federal agencies that were hit badly enough by SolarWinds that they can attest to the fact that they did lose data. The first question I asked Gary that I think is useful when we talk about any kind of cyber breach, whether it's SolarWinds or somebody else, is, how do you know what you don't know? You know, I asked him, you don't have any evidence that you lost any data. How do you know you have all the evidence? How do you know? And I didn't want to accuse him, so I asked it in a more general way. How does one know that one has seen all the evidence in a cyber attack? And he very willingly went to the subject of SolarWinds directly, and how they did the forensics and how they did the investigation and how they determined what was closed and what was patched and what and so on, and then the forensics. I think it's a terrific testimony to the fact that while the federal government's cybersecurity response isn't perfect, it's also not dimwitted. There is a strategy. It's just difficult to implement when at the same time you're trying to, keep the train on the tracks. They're essentially repairing the airplane in the sky, and it's just got to be a tremendously tough task.
The VA has come a long way since we started talking about it, Francis. Remember, we used to talk about documents being lost in drawers.
Sure.
Now they're patrolling the edges, the front line of patrolling from hacks. Now we go to a subject which is equally in the news, the Colonial Pipeline being the target of ransomware thieves. You spoke to Brigadier General Gregory Towhill, Director of CERT Division of Software Engineering Institute. He has a recommendation, does the general, about ransomware. What does he say, Francis?
My main takeaway from my conversation with Greg is that I asked him the same question that I ask a lot of people about ransomware propagators. I said, Greg, these are bad guys. They do bad things to good people, hospitals and so on. How do you know that if you pay them the ransom that they're actually going to give you the keys back and decrypt your stuff so that you can use it again? And he said, I took this to be good news. I don't mean to put words in his mouth. In my view, the good news is while these are criminals, they have a business model. They're criminal businessmen is the term that he used. And the criminal business model depends on the fact that they can continue to put this ransomware on people's systems and get money. These organizations all have names because they have to have some name attached to them for which the victim can send the money. So he said, if I ransom your system and then I don't give you the keys back, people aren't going to give me any more money because they know that I can't be trusted. It was just to me a very striking example of honor among thieves that you actually can apparently count on the bad guys to give you your information back when they steal it from you the first time.
I took two things from your conversation with both these men. First of all, if you're satisfied with your cybersecurity, there's something wrong with you, and you should be making a phone call right now. Secondly, It's a delight to the professionals that the FBI recovered some of that ransomware from the Colonial Pipeline. They're all having birthday parties about that success.
Yes, I think both of those points are accurate, John. And again, I take comfort from the fact that nobody in cybersecurity in the federal government that I talk to seems satisfied. They all seem to understand we need to stay on our toes, whether events dictate it or not, because the next incident is potentially tomorrow or later today. And the recovery of the money is, I think, a major breakthrough in breaking the back of the ransomware threat. The problem is there's always something else. What's the next permutation of cyber criminals stealing money from somebody somehow? I don't know what it is because that's not how I think, and that's the problem. In order to stay ahead of cyber criminals, you have to think like a cyber criminal, and there's way too much money in it. You have to really have a conscience, an overwhelming conscience, to be willing to do it for the amounts of money the federal government pays, not because they pay you pauper's wages, but because it's so lucrative to be a cyber criminal today.
Francis Rose, he is the host of Government Matters in our nation's capital, also the 4-star forum at Apple Podcasts, his conversations with general officers. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.